Thank you for that lovely introduction. How did you know the acronym? There's an REA in Australia as well. I just wanted to say thank you to Paul, Casey, and the Ovail phenomenon, which is clearly a very vibrant and unique event here in Cork. I've been having a great time. I've been here for a week in Ireland, and I've had 2 days in Cork so far, and I'll be rolling around kind of anti-clockwise around the island over the next month. I'm going to start with a poem that has sentimental connections to Cork. Why not? The first connection, coincidence, is that it's dedicated to a fellow Melbourne poet named Michael Farrell, who was here about 6 months ago. The second coincidence is that it is drawing from the colonial life of one of my Irish ancestors who hailed from Cork City, arrived in Tasmania in about 1820. This poem is not about him, but it is, I guess, about the house that he built in Hobart in Tasmania. And I suppose it's kind of imagining a house that's haunted by the detritus of a colony, and also imagining a character who is anxious at the idea of a home invasion. I don't know if anyone, I know that Frank has spent time in Australia, but every white person in Australia is waiting for the reverse invasion to happen. Some of us would like to see it happen. Some of us would like it to be some kind of policy. It's a very vexed thing, but the idea of the colonial home being open to reclamation has a rich tradition in Australian poetry. And so this poem's called Wrecking Party, and it's for Michael Farrell. Mulberry. A bat drops on the stove, awakes no one, clutching its belly. Then they're coming to the door saying, take the tools, throw a horseshoe in. Throwing a horseshoe in. Irish silver, imperial leather, whatever, it all smells like folded skin. Burrows in the bricks. They hack a wall through to the garden, straighten out into stars, a fringe of purple lawn, spraying teeth. She rushed forward toward beating away through the mulberry. Her eyes seemed to fall into place as the acid crossed her face in confusion. When morning knocked, she hid under the table, never good with perspective. Fairy lines trebled through the background. She watched mould forest in canvas undergrowth, wearing the rug to death. On the window ledge, a conch, some pins imposing. In the window, a handful of spears stuck in flight, trails carved hard toward earth. She stood and they accelerated. She wrote off, ink sliding back into the pen. She wrote off, tearing the envelope with her teeth. So I'm going to read in a kind of little mini chronology, just so you can get a sense of the pattern of my work. I'll read first from this book, Certain Fathoms, my first collection. And maybe I'll just read a few poems from that, and then a section from this more recent book, Final Theory, and then some new poems that are in this form at the moment. I went through a period where I was interested in writing riddles. Well, they weren't really riddles, not proper riddles. but things that sounded like riddles. And I don't mean poems that are difficult, I just mean the idea of a subject in the poem that is never really referred to. A kind of poem that circles around something that doesn't enter into the poem. So I might start with one of those riddle poems. I can find it. So this is called Points. I was burnt orange, I'm black. As it rises, I clarify. You think I have a front. Distantly, as it falls, I have grapes of high-held ash. My soot is wet. If you approach your own personal rain. This poem's called Alarmist. I wake between tile and rug, the clock's a cake. You and your chest hang, their folds and the rest suspended beneath, shut. Unheard, lunch on the terrace slowly eating itself. You miss twigs, the grinding whirlpool. Minutes tip, empty of breath. Static expands into the room. I hear legs shifting beneath you. And this poem is called Re-Mist. You know the little thing on the car that demists the windscreen? Mm-hmm. Did you call it demist a year? Yeah. So it's like demist, but... Yes. Young day, pain. A cloud's in the garden over the bricked up spring. Slip a limb down, easy. Fingers before rain, the fog tightening headlights. Petrified and dull with wet, crumpling, clutched, time let go, not into air, but the ground, to surface later, wheeling faces, windows, coast, ticking down. I was telling the workshop group that I was with earlier this evening that when I was writing this book, I became kind of obsessed with sort of cutting the poem back to as short as it could be, to the point where there were like no lines left on the page, which was something of a problem. And so I finished off the book and that was fine, but then I was like, shit, what do I do now? And the only thing I could do was kind of, you know, turn around, hit the walls, turn around and do the opposite thing. I'm sure many of you have probably experienced versions of this before where you have to turn on yourself. So the next thing I did was write a book-long poem with really long lines. Book-long poem is a narrative in four parts, so I'm not going to read it cover to cover to you, but I'll just read the beginning of the book, and it will be a fragment or an excerpt of the narrative as it is, that develops. I wrote this travelling around between land masses that had had some relationship with the continent of Australia geologically. So I was writing it, I wrote it mostly in New Zealand, this section, but also between Antarctica and some parts of southern Australia as well. So this part is written in New Zealand. And it opens with a quote from the Aboriginal poet Lionel Fogarty, which is, ranges and countless channels uninhabited, country decades, is not weird. Cones, knives, volcanoes, warning a surface external wave, rock over arid plains, are not far from our base. The crashed mass, perfectly dry-aired, raised rim, made out of vanished whirling, high speed actually happens. So, final theory, part one. Yesterday was think, to one line descends. Not quite. At dawn, the mess of trees produced stars. The radio gave thanks for another, found the week before 300 times our sun. They said it could be heaved closer to understudy our panting source. In classrooms, children drew the procedure, colossal ropes and lake-sized mirrors. And here it is, morning again and again, forcing itself through the leaves, inhaling space. Once, during a Roy Anderson film, I saw celluloid burn that way. First the sound departed and the room went still, then shimmering rocked the screen like heated oil before a dark pupil burst the scene and grew. I should mention this is a science fiction film. They kept it a surprise, popping the moon to clear the new sun's path, discourage the trebling oceans. After the last tide, our orbit locked back into place, we clinked glasses. The coast held together a while, the detritus of the old harbours unmoved upon floodlit earth. Underneath ongoing day, the day goes on. Trucks roam for exploration clay. They rummage layers staked on time's dart like a valentine, splintering the rifts of scissor liquid. And above it all, me in your apartment, shimmying, rock steady. Sleepless piff. We wait to cars shaving the coast road. Lumpen contractions grasp the cliffs, the acid sea balloons. The earth waves into a straight red streak like distant resolutions returning to the surface of magma sponge. If there's land, it bubbles, its subtle lip, its slumping bowl. Ah, la, whatever might has been. I ask if you remember before our specks clumped in the sky's roaring gaps, in that other age of loneliness when we spread like rafts of seed, just flecks of pace pinching together, ink without words. When we started to think so much that we cooled ourselves stiff. Can you think a way around that orbit to when we gutter and wisp and spit? We'll drive till this land swims, you say. My camera might sink, but we'll be safe inside of it, fat and rich and pink. It's nothing like the end of the world, imagine the tree. So I'm going to read a couple of new things that haven't really had much of a life yet. So this is my poor attempt at using a formal pattern, and it was published in Zone, the new magazine from the UK. It's called Slow News. Memory is a spotlight. Faces grow on trees. Kangaroo Shoulders Tents. In the American Library, Arms of Wattle. Faces Grow on Trees. Poet and Followers on the Arms of the Couch. In the American Library, Arms of Wattle. People Resemble Trees Often. Poet and Followers on Arms of the Couch. Birds of Prey Find Stamina in Government. And People Resemble Trees Often, They Say, Here Is Yesterday's Camel. Birds of Prey Find Stamina in Government, A Mist with No Healthy Heart. Here Is Yesterday's Camel, False Doors to the Beautiful West. A Mist with No Healthy Heart, Memory is a Spotlight, It's False Doors to the Beautiful West, Kangaroo Shoulders, Tents. Just to realise how much of a cultural cliche I feel like using the word kangaroo in foreign countries. You know, all expecting me to say kangaroo sometimes, right? And I just do it.
That's the next one, but barbecues.
Yes.
Is there shrimp?
Wallaby.
Yes.
Now I can't stop searching the poem for like words I should leave out. This is called The Way You Live. It's not really about anything. The Way You Live. The middle is low tide. I hear a trough that rips. Blokes walk out to the middle. In the middle is the verb flying towards stir and flocking. As you circle the middle, it tries to dip. The little car in the middle, the artist making herself from dust. I swallowed a little car once. It remains parked inside where the lies begin. Small pyramids of salt, a glass age. Without talking about the middle, you are in it, making a case for your hands, where running turns to walking. From down here, the middle is flat as joy, as honeycomb trodden open. They might have died in the middle. The middle has a rounded base, and in the middle are two square holes, the way back out. It's called Inland. I hope it's okay that I just sort of mostly just read poems without trying to explain them. I sort of prefer that you just live in them and make of them what you will. But by all means, come and say something or ask me something if you'd like. So, Inland. I lay my thought over the bow, mouthless. White as confidence, its spiral tipped and drawn. I will imagine you in foreign streets, not at the feet of history, but in the alley where it limps. Sometimes still you come back in drips from your shoulders, other eyes. Last light mine. I stand up in the field, incommensurable. A Doric winter, straight under my fluted brain. So I'll read a couple more. Maybe a couple of slightly longer ones. This is called Mostly Water. In winter, the garden, like the back of our mind, a faint young sun. By dawn, the house has forgotten much of it. Last night I caught you reading strands from the plug hole, pointing to the shrunken stranger crackling in the tumble dry. I thought of my grandmother pointing proudly over her daughter's shoulder to the photograph of her daughter. The rain rises fast. I'm wondering what my young girl's doing now and what if she were faintly real. I've made you aware you'll never know. When you quiz the electronic mind, she doesn't listen. And as you sleep, I break her up into neat little sticks. Let them lie. You wake our hydrogen bombs. I'm mostly water, as you know. You're saying how warm you feel, trying to scrape off my sweater like an energetic young sun. The rain hovers, removes its feet. It wasn't really long gone, was it? That's as long as they get. Two more now. This is called Dune, as in Sand Dune. And it's a sequence of fragments, so I'll just pause in between the fragments. Dune. Sweeping the past out sounds like a gamelan. As we walk back from a party, through dark whiteness. Above the bay, our heads like trains, the school a village. She said, twisting oil out of a leaf, why do you always do this? You trail it with you. Other paths move through its minute landscapes, more here, less there, embed its edges grip like eyes. An owl had flown across the mouth of a river from burning palms. At dawn, I hunched beneath its gaze, concealing the rabbit. A condom packed with sand stood tight and flesh-coloured, creasing on the ledge. We dragged our bikes up higher to watch it split under the tide. Sleep produces a distant version of the nearby ocean. Dogfish run in crowds to the shore, and I tunnel in the opposite direction, shaking through the first wave, its remaking bows of the horizon, the ring of us hanging before the second wave, and third, a ring loosens, we no longer see one another. Dry arms on the dipping raft. Your voicemail as I come into town. Your voice asking me to move south as I carry on to the lake, shin high across its cradle of purple orange cries. In the background, clouds ate each other. My mother demonstrating meals of beach and air pouring, pouring. I mentioned at the beginning an anxiety that lives in Australian culture about a reverse invasion. And this poem's not about that, but it is about I guess the continuing colonisation of Aboriginal land in the 20th century, no longer as a colonial pursuit, but as an industrial one. It's about mining industry in an island off the north coast of Australia called Groote Island. And I wrote this poem after watching a documentary by a bloke named Stephen Sargent. If you ever can Google this documentary, it's called The Change at Groot. And it's a fantastic short documentary made in the 70s about mining coming to this small Aboriginal mission community. Anyway, I wrote this after watching that. It's called Night Work, The Change at Groot. A conveyor belt reeling into action cries, rubbish rocks, rubbish rocks, breaks up floodlight, its flash, a stingray covered, uncovered. Pandanus leans, magic, it enters the bulldozer, rearing. Its tires dissolve as from the rocks and rubbish the camera conveys one kid, naked, thick-haired, and furiously sweeping a path through reeds, Pandanus shaking, entranced by the trucks and manganese at her feet. The old men spin like tires, covered, uncovered. It's the 60s, then it isn't. So I will read a short poem and then I'll finish with the long one. This is called Stump, Trunk and Can. There's some more Australian things. I think they exist everywhere. Stump, Trunk and Can. Your torso parked against a salmon gum. Or you as a terrified hero horse, chest ground against the earth. You made by fat, drastic thumbs. And a squiff of zinc for your fag end. Now you're a bastard, you might as well dress like one and eat the meat that bastards eat. The distended spider hanging from a mosquito coast, its network of tails. The bear at the centre of the Colosseum. You as teal-coloured, graven with signs of a delta. Cup with two saucers. Your shin as a root that rests while the body walks on. You as a hull fading into view. Planed by the rush, sockets thrown, your face coming away in my hands like an anchor. Falling through streets, pausing to lick the page, wake muffled in the crotch of a long gaze. Crotch is a weird word, isn't it? When I was younger, crutch was the actual word. Oh. And then it got sort of nicified to crotch. And now I'm confused about which is the rude one. And maybe not anymore. So I'll finish with this slightly longer, relatively longer poem. It's called Never, and like most of my poems, the I and the you in it are completely imaginary. These are not, confessional autobiographical poems in any way at all. So these are kind of characters or voices. I don't know what to say about this. It is an imaginary narrative of a particular region of Northern Australia, but you don't need to know that to hopefully just fall into it in some way. Never. It stood sweating pages of ash. Stretched days stare from stone and grass. I run into their light, regretting everything. My fingers hook and unhook, listening to voices hover up the wall and long bottles of flame explode. The track lies behind, shadows sleep through. Turn it all upside down. You were young then, floated on water, and might have come with me to the sunken creek. Now I bend, reflection flattens me apart. Now everyone has fire, they sit still. Embers jump from my mouth, weeks collapsing. The sky flies on. I've cut the evening, my face locked one eye at a time. The warm dimensions of mist move with me, storming breaks ahead, and I blink forward off the plane. Do you have any idea? Over itself, the rivers drag firm, a scent from the paper soft with stench and thwack of the current hurtling. If a thin touch spells out downriver, then already I've passed you. The bank's brave, first star, raising myself in time. My last face was streaked with open water, buds caught in its silver streams like mouths. Swamp bedding. From its pattern I separate each blade clear. No myth, I wade clueless, a polis of moss in my ears. Slowly twisting trees, crash to cinders. Your spine like smoke. The whole year is stripes and grids of appetite. Wash away the surface, eat it through. Into the apartments of sand, I enter flat under the door. Night tightens its grip. Like an old moon, I rust in the pool, boiling, skinless, and mineral blue. Thank you so much. Thank you.